Earlier today, I thought something a bit strange was afoot in the WPR studios. I saw coworkers shuffling slowly down the hall, arms outstretched with a vacant look in their eye. I ran for cover in a nearby office. Turns out it was just someone who didn't get enough sleep. And luckily, that's as close as we get to zombies here at WPR. But Halloween is in the air, and there are plenty of zombies to be found on movies and TV this time of year. Our next guest is going to help us dig into the zombie genre, something he says can tell us a lot about what society is scared of and why. And we want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. What's your favorite zombie movie, TV show, or other media? What do you like about them? What do zombies signify to you? Why do you think they have such long-lasting power in pop culture? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Drago Mamsilovic is a senior lecturer in the Comparative Literature Program at UW-Milwaukee. He's currently teaching a class about zombies in the media. His latest article is called Monsters on MTV. Drago, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you for having me.
Well, Drago, I understand that long before you started teaching about zombies, you were just a fan of the genre. Do you remember how you first came across them? What was your first zombie exposure?
My first zombie exposure was not a very positive one, unfortunately, because it happened when I was a young kid. I saw Michael Jackson's Thriller video for the very first time. And that was the day that I found out that zombies were absolutely terrifying. and, you know, to a young kid like me, they were also terrifyingly real, even though they are supernatural monsters, essentially. When I watched that video, even when I watch it today, I still get that same sense of the young kid watching and getting spooked by, you know, the spectacle of the dead body coming back to life and attacking the living and all of these things that, you know, I think really sort of embody both the best and the worst of zombie narratives.
And you really stuck with it. What in your mind makes the zombie unique and maybe a bit more interesting in the pantheon of horror movie villains?
Well, zombies, I think, have their own place in the pantheon because they sort of come back in waves. And, you know, if you track the different zombie narratives that we sort of popularize and talk about, every generation seems to put its own sort of stamp or its own unique sort of historical imprint onto the figure of the monster. That's kind of what I really appreciate about zombie narratives of the 21st century. The videos and the stories that I grew up with in the 80s and the 90s, they were of a certain variety of zombies, right? These sort of shambling corpses that would pursue you to all ends of the earth, but they were, you know, they would walk across the landscape, and they would terrorize, you know, any corner that they could get into. Today's zombies are runners. They are sprinters. They are very agile. And I think in a lot of ways, they reflect the sort of accelerated pace of modern living in this technologized world. So you really see a sense of evolution in this particular monster, which is always kind of exciting because they always bring that new and unexpected element to their stories.
Yeah, and one of the things that I know you hone in your class is this idea that zombies are a metaphor for things we're experiencing in society. Can you talk a bit more about where you've seen that throughout the years?
In the last couple of years alone, right, we've come out of this global pandemic and everybody has been talking about, you know, sheltering in place, finding safe spaces, protecting their bubbles, and so on and so forth. And, you know, modern zombie narratives are sort of built on this trope of infection that seems to spread like wildfire, not just through the zombie bites, but also through fear and panic, and sort of this desperate search for survival and safe spaces. So in a lot of ways, you know, watching zombie shows like The Walking Dead, for instance, while, you know, sheltering in place during the global pandemic has sort of given me, just as a viewer, this really sort of heightened sense an appreciation for the way that the human survivors in these shows really sort of go all out to try to protect themselves from this global pandemic, this thing that has sort of settled on society.
We're talking with Drago Mamsilovic right now, senior lecturer in comparative literature at UW-Milwaukee, talking about zombies and why they've been around in pop culture for so long and what they can tell us. And Drago, how far in the past does the zombie in popular imagination go? How far does the history stretch?
Well, it depends on the iteration of the zombie that you're talking about. I think that most people have a certain idea of what a zombie is. It's usually this reanimated corpse that's arisen from the dead. And if we're talking about the zombie in those terms, then probably George Romero's 1968 film, Night of the Living Dead, would have been one of the archetypal narratives that starts that tradition. But what's also interesting about that film is that none of the characters in that film actually utter the word zombie. They sort of refer to them as things, and you know, the radio broadcasters that are reporting on this epidemic refer to the behavior as sort of criminal and cannibalist. I think that's because there's a very particular conception of the zombie that comes out of Caribbean folklore, particularly during the colonial and post-colonial eras. And that particular vision of the quote-unquote monster is much different than the reanimated corpse that we sort of have come to know and have adopted in our cultural lexicon.
And we actually have a clip on hand from George Romero's 1968 Night of the Living Dead. This is a clip from when brother and sister Johnny and Barbara visit a cemetery and find out that not everyone there is truly dead.
They're coming to get you, Barbara.
Stop it! You're ignorant!
They're coming for you, Barbara.
Stop it! You're acting like a child!
They're coming for you. Look, there comes one of them now.
He'll hear you.
Here he comes now. I'm getting out of here.
Johnny! Oh, no! Oh, Johnny! Help me!
Now, Drago, I saw Night of the Living Dead for the first time just a few months ago, and wow, that's the textbook for how to make a movie with about $5 in your pocket. But beyond that, I thought it was really impressive. Can you talk a bit more about what the themes you're seeing in there are?
Well, that film, I believe, was released, I think, maybe 6 months after the assassination of Dr. King in 1968. So there is sort of this ambiance of racial tension and unrest that sort of forms the backdrop against which this film is set. And you can see traces of you know, race relations that come forward in the way that the characters interact with each other. The main protagonist is a man by the name of Ben, who's played by Dwayne Jones, the great Dwayne Jones, an African-American actor. And he is, I'm sorry about the spoiler, but I have to spoil the end of the film, unfortunately. He is the lone survivor in his group, but he sort of endures countless, you know, attacks as well as microaggressions from other survivors in the house where he's holed up. And the way in which Ben loses his life at the end of the movie is sort of eerily reminiscent of the violence of that era. In the sort of larger struggle for civil rights. So there are ways of reading contemporary debates about race in a film from 1968. There's also this really interesting backdrop about American exceptionalism during the Cold War and sort of countering American might, military might, and scientific advancement against the growing competition that the United States saw from the communist East, in particular the Soviet Union. So all of those elements, I think, sort of combine and percolate in that movie, and they create this sense of a very uneasy and unstable atmosphere that the zombie then sort of disrupts and explodes altogether.
Yeah, and it's basic level, the zombie movie is about keeping something out. Do we see other movies or shows later on pick up on those themes of race and xenophobia?
Absolutely. And especially as the zombie sort of migrates to television shows like The Walking Dead, where there's much more of a sustained attention on not just the outbreak of zombies, but also how you sort of survive in that world where the zombie is now a given, and the kinds of human community that emerge in the face of that. A show like The Walking Dead, for instance, which premiered in 2010. It was based on a series of comic books that came out in 2003, started coming out in 2003. That show really sort of plays with the idea of survival in the zombie post-apocalypse, but the forms of community that become, you know, part of the show really sort of take over, in a manner of speaking, in such a way that, you know, the primary focus is not necessarily on the monsters themselves, but on the potential monsters that human survivors become or have to become in the quest for survival. So it's really sort of cutthroat in a lot of ways, because suddenly xenophobia becomes a survival skill, right? It's an ugly reality that many of these survivors have to face, but you know, the question of who to admit into your community, who will be a benefit or an asset to your community, and who is potentially a threat. Those are some of the questions that the survivors continually wrestle with, especially in television shows like The Walking Dead.
Drago Mamasilovic is with us, senior lecturer in comparative literature at UW-Milwaukee, also a self-proclaimed lifelong fan of zombies. He's talking with us about the meaning of zombies in pop culture, and we want to hear from you too at 800-642-1234. Did zombies scare you as a kid? What do you think of them now? Do you have any favorite zombie movies or TV shows to share with us, or maybe video or board games? What do you think about the zombie genre? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Dean Knetter, in today for Rob Ferret. Thriller by Michael Jackson playing us in right now, because we are talking about zombies with UW-Milwaukee lecturer Drago Mamasilovic. Zombies in popular culture and what they can tell us about society, what we're scared of and why. And we want to hear from you too at 800-642-1234. Do you have a favorite zombie TV show, movie? What do you like about it? Let us know at 800-642-1234. We also heard from Jacqueline on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Oh, excuse me, Peter on Facebook said, I was never too impressed with the zombie up until World War Z. The zombie was mostly portrayed as a slow, lumbering creature of minimal intelligence. Seemed that it would be pretty easy to get away from. Now, Drago, you, I know, talk about World War Z, the book, and the subsequent movie in your class, and this idea that the zombie gets more physically intimidating. What do you think about that?
I think it's absolutely true, and I would agree with that comment. My students and I just wrapped up a series of discussions about that novel, and they were really fascinated by certain aspects of it that I was fascinated by when I first read it. We didn't watch the movie, unfortunately, but maybe another day. And I think that there's something really interesting about the military metaphor that's often used in the novel to address the question of the zombie war and how to tackle sort of this outbreak of instability and sort of foreign menace in that particular context. Because one of the biggest, I guess, strengths of the zombie is that it can aggregate into these large hordes that are absolutely unstoppable. And one of the I guess, key rescue features, one of the key strategies that the novel sort of unveils for us is this idea of declaring total war on the zombie in the same way that the zombie has declared total war on humanity. And by total war, I mean this idea that the zombie doesn't stop until it pursues the living and attacks and kills the living, right? There's no downtime that the zombie sort of devotes to other things. It's always 100% of the time devoted to that cause. So the people in the novel have to defeat the zombie on similar terms. So yeah, there's something very intense and extreme and disciplined about the way that the zombie menace is portrayed in that context.
And another piece of media where the zombie is very fast and very intimidating is the South Korean film Train to Busan from 2016, which I've seen, and it's pretty unsettling. It's pretty cool, but it is frightening. How do we see countries outside of the U.S. taking up the zombie genre and doing something new with it?
I think a lot of different countries have been paying attention to what Romero specifically was doing in the 1960s and really throughout the 70s, 80s, and 90s. Night of the Living Dead for Romero was the beginning of a very successful film franchise, which led to other projects, including novelizations of his work. And those stories have international audiences, right? They sort of permeated the globe. And what we're seeing in today's generation of filmmakers and TV creators is this real sort of appreciation for what George Romero started, but what these people are sort of doing and translating into the context of their own cultures, their own histories, their own languages. Train to Busan is a really interesting example because it all takes place on this, you know, high-speed train, which, you know, in a lot of ways seems like a fantasy that Americans have, but, you know, it's not part of our reality yet, the idea of a high-speed train. And the zombies themselves, they attack simply for the sake of spreading and replicating this thing that has infected them, this microbe or whatever it is. And so, you know, it calls to mind a very different conception of the zombie, right? Not something that feeds on human flesh in order to survive, but something that spreads because that is the primary goal. That is the modus operandi, to spread. And that's a slightly different take on the zombie, but it also explains the accelerated pace, the greater sense of peril in that kind of universe, and the greater sense of loss. I mean, the damage that the zombie does is much more widespread than we've seen in other narratives.
Talking with Drago Mamasilovic from UW-Milwaukee about zombies and popular culture. Let's go to the phones now. We've got Dan in Prairie du Sac. Hi, Dan.
Hey, I don't know if this is really a zombie movie. I just remember it, watching it as a kid, and it might have had Paul Newman. It was Omega Man.
Omega Man. Drago, are you familiar with that one?
I am not, but I am curious.
And Dan, what do you remember about that one? What do you like about it?
Oh, just like there was some kind of virus that, and there were these creatures with like green eyes or something. They were humans. They were kind of like zombies, and then they hunted the people who didn't have this virus. And I thought it had Paul Newman in it. Anyway, I just thought I'd share that.
Gotcha, Dan. Thanks for the call. We will keep that on our radar. And Drago, even if a movie doesn't necessarily have a zombie per se, there's a lot of zombie adjacent villains in horror, right?
Absolutely. I mean, the zombie is kind of an elastic concept, an elastic category. We have, you know, sort of these traditional zombies that have evolved into sort of these high-speed iterations, like the ones that we see in Train to Busan. And the pace and acceleration really does reflect the kind of technologized and industrialized culture of modern South Korea. But what's also interesting is that a show like HBO's The Last of Us, which is an adaptation of a video game, an interactive video game, I believe, it doesn't feature zombies per se, but it resuscitates many of the same themes. And it also plays with this idea of, you know, a technology network that the zombie sort of becomes part of. One of the great things about The Last of Us in particular is that when the survivors are walking through the decimated landscape and they encounter a zombie somewhere or some kind of creature that's been infected, they also run the risk of awakening the entire network of creatures that they are linked to biologically and through this strange fungus that has sort of, you know, taken over their physical sensoria. And so as a result, you know, any sort of local stimulation or encounter can threaten to awaken the entire monster, as it were. And that sort of raises the stakes once again, as far as what the zombie can do and the kind of damage we can sort of envision it causing.
And Drago, we just have about a minute or so left, but I wanted to get your thoughts on Halloween and spooky season more broadly than just zombies, because Halloween is really popular right now. People are counting down the days in June for Halloween, and it's not just for kids anymore. What do you think's going on?
I think adults love zombies. Adults love candy. Adults love the conviviality of hanging out together, enjoying, you know, shared interests, especially after the last 2 or 3 years. And there's a great sense of jubilation, I think, that people can sort of participate in, right? You know, fear can bring us together. Disgust over the zombie body can bring people together. And it can also be a great source of humor. So that's an important part of the history of zombie cinema. There's great humor in a lot of these films. And I think that, you know, a culture that celebrates those elements, I think there's an organic connection between those things.
And as we wrap up, what is the next zombie-related piece of media that you're teaching in your class?
I believe that's a good question, actually. Tomorrow we're going to be talking about Fall of the House of Usher by Edgar Allan Poe and a short story by Stephen King called You Know They Got a Hell of a Band, which features Buddy Holly and Janis Joplin as zombies.
Cool stuff. Well, Drago, thank you so much for taking the time to join us today.
Thank you for having me. It's been wonderful.
Drago Momcilovic is a senior lecturer in the Comparative Literature Program at UW-Milwaukee. He joined us for a Halloween-themed conversation looking at what zombies can tell us about our society, our own fears, and why they have such a long history in pop culture. And a reminder that you can listen back to this conversation and all of the conversations we've had here on Central Time by browsing the Ideas Network archives at WPR.org.